so glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
So tonight, I want to kind of still piggyback on that same message, but I want to preach on the subject of signs. You're too easily offended. There are folks who are too easily offended. And if you're not careful, you'll carry around a spirit of offense. And I know that some of you may get upset because I didn't call your name that I'm about to call. But I just saw Ben and Melissa. Good to have y'all in service. Amen. They're some kind of kin to John and Charlene. I just can't quite remember. What was that? We don't want to claim. It's probably the other way around. But anyway, I know the family. But now, have you guys moved now? Praise God. All right. They're moved here. So thank God. I know that mom and daddy's happy. And so glad to see you guys and folks that maybe you're not new, but you haven't been in a while, and or maybe you're home from college. Raquel, also known as Roach. Good to see you. Amen. Other folks. Good to have our Canadian ladies with us tonight. Amen. They come see us every year, so we're glad to see y'all. And those of you who I didn't mention, it's good to have, say your name, it's good to have in service with us today. Thank you so much for being with you. Got our armed forces girl over there. Good to see you, girl. Amen. So thank you for your service. Amen. You look completely different, not in uniform. Amen. Yeah, that's right. So stand to attention. No, I'm just kidding. Amen. So let's get started on the word tonight. It is 8:38. I'm just going to preach. I ain't going to say nothing. I'm just going to preach. We talked about how that the word offended comes from a word off-ended. And it's when you get knocked off your ends, so to speak. And an offense will keep you from God's best and deliver you to Satan's worst. Now, the devil loves people to stay offended. How many enjoys being offended? Don't raise your hand. That's a trick question. Some people enjoy being offended because if you're... Now, how many? I'll say this, and it's not a trick question. How many enjoy being mad every once in a while? I enjoy being mad every once in a while. Amen. People leave you alone when you're mad. And when they know you're mad, right? So you kind of enjoy that. You get a little peace and quiet or something, you know. But if you stay offended, then you stay off of what God has for you. And the devil wants you not only offended, but he wants you to take on a spirit of offense. And we take our text out of several different scriptures. Matthew 18:7. Woe to the world because of offenses, for offenses must come. But woe to that man by whom the offenses come. Matthew 24:10. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Kind of sounds like the world we're living in. Romans 14:21. It is good neither to eat meat nor drink wine nor do anything by which your brother stumbles or is offended or is made weak. Luke 17:2. It would be better for him to put a milestone were hung around his neck and we were thrown into the sea than he should offend one of these little ones. And it's so easily to get offended in the day in which we live. Now, one of the things that really offends me is the fact that the people who are usually easily offended have no trouble offending other people. You know, the people who can dish it but can't take it. The people who go, let me just tell you this because I love you. You know, I had a pastor call me just the other day. And matter of fact, it was last night. He didn't call me. He texted me. Texted me and asked me what to do about a situation in his church because he's a retired. There's a retired minister there that just started coming that caught his wife in the hallway and just rebuked her and broke her down. And they just started coming. He said, "What would you do?" I said, "You better not ask me what I would do." But I gave him, I think, wise counsel. I said, I would have a conversation with him right now that you're not the pastor anymore. You're from another church. You know, you ain't gonna do that to my wife. You got something to say, you're going to come to me. Come on. But anyway, But people are just offended by the least little things. And I'm not saying that's the least little thing, but we are offended. Now, emotional people are easily offended. One of the reasons is because they have emotional wounds that have not healed. Just let's go through it real quickly here, Craig. Give them the next one. Jesus came to heal wounded people, and there's lots of us. Amen. Remember that hurt people are more easily hurt again, and hurt people hurt people. An aged wound is more likely to become infected. That's why you can't let it fester. And we didn't have this problem when we were in the world. You know, I remember being in a couple of bar fights, and then afterwards you just buy the guy a drink. But in church, we move churches. We leave churches. Just because somebody said something wrong, got in our parking spot, got into our seat. You know, they know I sit right there. You know, no. Bitterness or unforgiveness in the heart is a good reason why people are easily offended, which is point number two. They have a chip on their shoulder, operating out of a wrong spirit. What spirit are you operating? Now, religious people are quick to say, well, the Holy Spirit. Well, really? When's the last time you really had communion with Him? When was the last time that you really spent some time with Him? Or have you just been phoning it in? You picked up the offense because it wasn't meant for you. Carrying an offense for someone else. I'm offended for them. And it wasn't even about you. My daughter taught me something not too long ago about secondhand embarrassment. I never heard it that way. I've heard it, I'm embarrassed for them. But secondhand embarrassment, it means that you're embarrassed for them. And there are people who are offended for people who are not even offended. How many do you know, don't point at them, how many know that they are so innocent they don't even know to be offended? It's kind of hard to offend them. I kind of want to be that person. Kind of hard to offend me. I want to be. I'm not saying I am. I want to be. And I'm pretty good about it because other people get upset about stuff I don't get upset about. I don't like you. Don't send me a Christmas card. And by the way, some of y'all didn't. But anyway, no, I'm just kidding. I didn't send out any Christmas cards. So, but you understand what I'm saying. We've got to get to the point where we are not operating out of a wrong spirit. Number four is that we cannot operate in ungratefulness. Because when you become ungrateful, you begin to take for granted the things that you should be thankful for. When you become ungrateful, we become easily offended. Because you're not grateful for stuff. You know, it would have been really a bad day when I gave gifts to my children or my wife and they opened it and threw it back into my face. Yeah, there would have been some bond money involved because I'd have been in jail. Just throw it back in your face. Nobody wants that. Everybody wants to have some gratefulness about them. But yet we do it with God all the time. We forget what God did for us last time. And we begin to say things like God is only, we don't say it, but what we do is we begin to live it out that God is only as good as His last miracle that He did in our lives. And God didn't come just to give you a miracle. He is the miracle. He came to save your life. He came to die so that you might live and that you may have life and have it more abundantly. So when we become ungrateful, we become easily offended. Here comes number five, pride. Filled with too much self-importance. That it's all about you. It's not all about you. You are not, point to your neighbor, you're not the center of the universe. Even if you might be the person next to you, center of the universe. You're not everybody's. All right? Then we talked about the refusal to deal with sin. That if you don't deal with sin, you can become easily offended. You know what? When I preach, some people are offended. And usually the people that are offended are the ones who don't want to deal with whatever I'm preaching about. If you preach on sin, people who are in sin and don't want to repent become offended. If you preach on tithing, people who are tithing don't get offended. It's the people who don't tithe. If you preach on healing, it's not the people who want healing or need healing. It's the other people. Are you getting this? Because they don't want to expose their own issue. I don't mind us talking about your issue. Let's just don't talk about mine. I don't mind talking to somebody else about your issue, but let's not get together and talk about mine. You know, it goes back to what I said earlier, that people who are usually easily offended are people who can spout off and shoot their mouth off all the time and then are appalled when they hurt somebody. They didn't get their way. Oh, they get on Facebook and start, then let me move on. Some people are offended when the truth exposes their sin. And then, if you're not careful, people are easily offended when they get a spirit of rejection. And that's real, guys. If you've lived your life in any kind of abuse, then you got to be careful. And matter of fact, it might not be abuse. It might just be the void of affection or love. I wasn't raised in abuse, even though DCF would have took me from my mama. She beat the fire out of me, man. Come on, somebody. I'm going to tell you right now, some other folk need to beat the fire out of their children. It's too late when they're 22. You better start when they're 22 months. But you better start earlier than that. I remember Jillian, and we've got good kids. I thank the Lord, and I can bind the devil in the name of Jesus. But we started young. She was 9 months old. I'd popped that hand. Sherry's dad was sitting there one day, and you know, there's a grandfather. She said, "Ronnie, don't you do that to that baby." I said, "Hey, you raised your children. Look how they turned out. Let me deal with this." Some of y'all are going to get that here in a minute. It was Sherry's dad that said that. Anyway, I said, "Let me handle this." All right. So, but the spirit of rejection, actually, there is a spirit at work to set us up to be rejected. And then I like this, whatever that guy's name is. It says, "When anyone has offended me, I try to raise my soul so high that the offense cannot reach it." Rise above it. Rise above it. And then we talked about, what should you do? What should I do? Do you repent of the sin of harboring offense? Because if you're not careful, once you're offended, you look through the lens of offense and everything offends you. You know, you get to where you can't watch football because you think when they get in the huddle, they're talking about you. It's ridiculous. But once you get offended, and if you have a spirit of offense, you look everything through it, and everything that happens, you go, "Well, what did they really mean by that? What did they mean by that? Oh, my Lord, they looked at me. What did they mean by that when they looked at me? Oh, they looked at me wrong. All right, what was it? Sister Susie looked at me cross-sided. Where's she at?" Well, Sister Susie's cross-sided. You don't realize that. All right? You renounce the bitterness in your soul. Number three, release the person who offended you. Release them. Receive God's grace to move on. And then number five, resist Satan's attempt to pull you back to the offense. So why do so many people take offense by every little thing these days? You know, the people who holler about love and respect have no concept of what love and respect really mean. Because I don't have time to hit this. I'm just going to hit it and run. You can go look at it a little bit deeper. But love is not just an emotion. It's not a feeling. When my children anger me and when I'm disappointed, I don't go, "Well, I don't love you no more. Okay, now I'm over it. I love you." But that's the way society is. We love and unlove at the moment's notice. I'm telling you, 31 years of marriage in February will be 32 years of marriage. About 28, 29 of them have been happy. Collectively, there's about 2 or 3 years that wasn't so happy in that marriage. But during the times when we were upset with each other, we didn't go, "We don't love you no more." We go, "We love you, but I can't stand you right now." Amen? But love means that we stay there with it and we work it out. We make it right. That's what real love is all about. Should people really be offended so often? That's what we've got to ask the question. If you're one of those who are offended often, then you've got to ask yourself, why am I being so offended so often? Well, it's because of the people that I hang around. Really? What's the common denominator? You. Amen? Listen, I understand everybody from time to time gets offended. And I'm not talking against that. However, if you're always offended, and you think it's because, you know, some people will change churches because they got offended. Listen, if you don't deal with the offense, and I know I'm talking to a Wednesday night crowd, but if you don't deal with the offense going to follow you to the next church. You know, we deal with pastors a lot as a regional bishop, and pastors who don't deal with their issues just take their issue to the next church, and they're there for a year or two until that issue comes back up. And if they didn't learn anything from the last church, then they got to go to another church, and all they do is just go and keep and leaving their issues or not dealing with their issues. And then when they leave those people with some issues that they had themselves. So why don't we just go ahead and deal with the issues at hand and decide I'm not going to be easily offended. Because let me tell you this. One writer said this. Being easily offended is a sign of insecurity and mental illness. I know some of them people. I pastor some of them people. Things offend us all, and that's not abnormal. I'm not talking about that. Everybody gets offended from time to time. But begin to look back. Well, you know, and I know what somebody's thinking right now, because I know people. Well, what's the average? What should I be offended? How many times can I be offended without me being mentally ill or being weird? Don't raise your hand, but somebody, come on, y'all. Some of y'all were thinking it right there. How many times can I be offended so I can keep count? That's not the way this works. Because, you know, because if it worked that way, it'd be a lot easier, wouldn't it? You know, you could keep count. Okay, I can't be offended. I'm at my limit. Because if I cross that limit, then I'm going to be mentally ill. But I'm talking about people who are always are actively searching and finding things to be offended by. To be offended by. They never learn to control their emotions. So how could we tell who is rightfully offended? That's the question. How can we tell if somebody is rightfully offended? And who is just blowing things up out of proportion? Don't point at them. They're always offended. Let me give you five signs someone is really too easily offended. Five signs. Are you ready? Here we go. Number one is this. They complain more often than not. That they complain more often than not. You know, that reminds me of the old guy who was married, and he asked his wife, and he was just a complainer. He fussed about everything. I don't know how the woman ever stayed with him. I'd have killed him and told God she died or he died. And she said, honey, what do you want for breakfast this morning? He said, I want two eggs. I want one scrambled and one fried. So she brought him two eggs, one scrambled, one fried, put it down in front of me. He goes, oh my goodness. She said, what's the matter? He said, you fried the wrong one. Now, that's somebody looking for an issue. Now, I'm just going to tell you straight up, if that would have been in my house, my wife would have hit me upside my head with the frying pan that she had fried the egg in. Philippians 2:14 says this, reading from the English Standard Version. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. See, now, I'll never forget the first time. Many of you know Bill Gwaltney, who was at the church when I came here. Let me tell you how I first met Bill. I first met Bill before I ever came to this church at a youth camp. And he had taken a week off vacation and come up there to work camp. And so, I'm glad he's not here. Me and him and a few other men, we went and did what I thought we could do and got in trouble. I don't know why trouble always looks for me. But we had got in trouble. And so to punish us, they made us mop the floor. I'm thinking, y'all ain't paying me to be here. Gonna punish me? I'm a grown man. And at the time, I'm like, I pastor the church. Well, y'all punish me. And I'll never forget Bill. And this tells you about somebody who was upset but still didn't get offended. He grabbed the mop. He goes, I don't know who they think they are. He's mopping in case y'all have never seen this before. He goes, I don't know who they think they are. I ain't mopping no stinking floor. He said, I did not take a week off vacation, come up here and get reprimanded by some other men that I am not going to do this. I ain't doing it. I don't do this at my own job, much less come up here and volunteer and they going to make me mop. I ain't going to do it. I said, Bill, we done. Well, they better be glad we done. See, we all complain about something, and if you don't, then you really got it going on. But we all complain about something. But maybe it's something that happened on the job or with a family member. And it's healthy. God, I hate saying this because people are going to take it to the extreme. You're going to forget everything else I said. It's healthy to vent from time to time. You know, as a man, sometimes you women have to tell us men, because we're fixers, that you don't want us to fix it. You just want to vent. And so then we'll go, okay. Because once you start telling us the problem, we start trying to figure out how to fix the problem. Because we're fixers. And if it's somebody who has offended you, we start thinking about their demise and how we can hide the body. So sometimes you just want to vent. And you need to sometimes tell us that, because let me help you, women. Men do not get hints. You got to tell us. I just want to vent. I don't want you to. All right, sometimes it might be happening, and sometimes I'll ask Sherry, okay, you want me to fix it or just listen? Just listen. Okay. I just had to get it right in my mind. Right? But it's healthy to vent occasionally. But it becomes a problem when this takes up the biggest part of somebody's day. When there is more bad than good in someone's life. It's time to take a good look in the mirror. Which brings me to the next point. Number two, they are always the victim. Oh my Lord Jesus. Have you ever looked at somebody and go, you must be the most unluckiest person on the planet Earth. Because everything happens to you. Right? Because they're always the victim. It wasn't my fault. Who's that guy? Did I do that? Who's that? Oh, Urkel. Now, some of y'all don't remember him. Many of y'all don't remember him. But Urkel, he would go, is that my fault? Did I do that? And many times we get to the point that they are always the victim, and they're always looking to be the victim. They're great at playing the victim. That if it wasn't for them being a victim, they wouldn't have a personality. They can do no wrong and blame their problems on everybody else. There are people in my life. Now let me rephrase that. There are acquaintances in my life. Why? Because I ain't going to let them in my life. They're on the outskirts of my life that are just drama kings and queens. And if you think men can't create some drama, you don't know some of the people I know. I know some dudes that are major drama queens. And I don't mean that, you know, like sexually. No, they just drama. They always. And if it's going to happen, it's going to happen to them. They're always in a fuss with somebody, right? Listen, let me help you, some of you. This is going to really help you. I'm going to help you how to stay out of conflict sometimes. It's in King James Version. Closeth, thou moutheth. Just shut up. Just shut up. Why do we, you know, men, sometimes you just let them get the last word. Just shut up. I see you, John. John's still back to grumbling. I just can't do it. I just can't do it. I don't know why I can't do it. I can't do it. We're going to cast the devil out of you. That's what we're going to do. Or if you was back in the 90s, we'd cast that talking spirit out of you. You know? They're always the victim. They can do no wrong. They believe their lives would be so much better if other people could just be better. Because let me tell you something. Drama attracts drama. Drama attracts drama. You let somebody get all, you know, wah! And other people will come and watch it. And other people start going crazy with them. Wah! You know, we were up at the Promise Keepers in Washington, D.C. back in the 90s. We took a group of about 30 guys up there for the Million Man March up there, and we went up there, and there were some protesting activists that were women, and they had them roped off so they wouldn't, you know, mess with the men. But men, all the men was over there. So I walked over to see what was going on too. Well, then I realized why all the dudes was there. Because the activists didn't have no shirt on. Or no brassiere either. They were topless. And just fussing with men and men fussing back. I walked by, y'all stupid. Not the women, the men, y'all stupid. You know, you're sitting here fussing with a naked woman. Y'all can be all holy if you want to. You know your eyes are going to go there. So I'm going to keep my eyes on the prize. I'm going to walk on over here. Because they can't walk. Did anybody go there with us when we was there? You was there? You didn't go with us though, did you? Me and Bob Pletcher was walking down there. Bob said, oh my Lord. I said, come on, Bob. No, let's go talk. I said, we ain't going to talk. Come on, Bob. Man, my wife will beat you and me. Because I know just as soon as I start fussing with one of them, somebody going to click a picture. I'm going to be on USA Today. Now, sir. But, man, they just swarmed to their... I mean, and I tried to get them to leave. I just said, come on, guys, leave them alone. They're stupid. You know, some people will fuss at a rock. But the problem is, that's real life. Here's some tough little words. Are you ready? Own it. Own it. I am responsible for my current situation. Boy, that's tough. Own it. Quit blaming everybody. Well, I was fired because the boss don't like me. Boss don't like you? Man, make it so he loves you. I'm not talking about sucking up, but you do your job so well, he can't help but like you. I mean, y'all, you go, that don't really work. Yes, it does. If you anticipate, listen, I know there are bosses here right now. There are business owners, there are foremans. But let me tell you part of making a career. Are you ready? This is very important. Show up. Here comes the second part of that. On time. You better say amen, boy. I had a youth pastor one time. It wasn't John. And I've only had three. But I had a youth pastor I said, man, you've got to quit showing up late to church all the time. Or late to the office. He said, well, pastor, I'm here on time. I go, dude, you're here every day 10 minutes late. Well, I count that as being on time. I said, okay. So the next paycheck, I docked him $50. He said, pastor, that's $50 out of my... I said, I count that as full. You want to show up on time? Here's your rest of your money. Come on, somebody. But part of working and being real is just showing up. All right? So... I am responsible for my own situation. I am responsible, here we go, not only for my situation, but I'm responsible for my attitude about my situation. I'm responsible for my attitude about my situation. I'm responsible for my life from this point forward, regardless of past failures, past successes, or what's been done to me. Because I can't change what's been done to me. I can't change what I did. I can't change what I went through. I can't change it. What I can do is change that affects my future. I can start right where I am at and take responsibility and say, I'm not going to be offended. I'm not going to live in offense, but I'm going to do what God's called me to do. And that is to be a better person on this planet and point people to Jesus Christ. I'm responsible. But it's so much easier to blame other people. It's easier to blame an unreasonable boss, an unfaithful friend, a critical or unbelieving spouse, bratty kids, the economy, the government, a cruel and unloving God. You know, here's the one I like about, you know, especially when with kids that don't mind. You know, I know when you're 22, they don't mind. But when you're 2, you can make kids mind. When they 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, you can make children mind. All right? Whew. I'm telling you, I struggle with unruly kids. I struggle with it. And we blame it. You know, here's what a lady told me about my kids. Hey, oh, you got lucky. Oh, man, I worked hard. I worked hard to get lucky. And you know what? The harder I work, the luckier I become. Oh, you just... You know, that's what they said about... Pastor, you've heard it. Pastor Cash, they said that about me and this church. Well, you got lucky and went to Crystal River. Where was they at when we was running 25? Well, they wasn't running 25 when I came here. It was 45. But where was y'all at? Where were they at? Where was they at then? It ain't lucky. It's working hard, believing God, doing what you know to do. Amen? Good preaching, Pastor. Amen. You and I are not victims of our circumstances. You and I are not facing things that other Christians have never faced, harder things that other Christians have never faced. Everybody has faced things that you're facing. And God said that with every temptation, He will make a way for you to stand up under it, because He will not put more on you than you're able to bear. Most are not being persecuted for their faith. Oh man, we're not being persecuted for our faith. Many of us are just big whiners. It's time to grow up. How many remember that skit on Saturday Night Live? The whiners, and they talk like this. I had a whiner back in my other church in Blountstown, and remember him? I don't remember his name, but he had a little baby child, and he'd say, "Baby." I was like, "Oh." Good Lord Jesus. The baby would do something. The baby was, what, 3 or 4 years old? He would do something. He'd go, "Oh, baby." I wanted to slap him upside his head. I said, "Man, talk like a dude." Most of us hearing these words are not imprisoned, except for in our minds. Most of us are not impoverished. "Well, you ain't been to my house." No, we're not impoverished. We don't know what that is. There are too many different types of people in the world to expect people to change for you. And no one can make anyone feel anything. Can't nobody make you feel something. You have to decide. Because I'm telling you, I've had people who tried to offend me and couldn't. The people at youth camp, they kept trying to offend me. Sherry would ask me, "Why do you keep going up there? They treat you ugly. I'm not even sure they want you up there." I said, "Because I am not going to let them win." And I would go up there and have a great time, and they would treat me ugly. And bless God, I'd get with them kids, though. I remember one of the last years I was at that camp, and I got there, and I was going to go be on the rec staff. And I got there, and they said, "Ronnie, we need you to be a counselor." I said, "All right, I'm here to serve, man. I'll do it." "Well, these are the worst kids in the camp." And they were. I ain't lying, boy. They were some bad children. I almost got out of the ministry over them children. It was bad. Because, you know, I can't whip them. You let me whip them? Oh, it's a whole different ball game. If I can whip your children, it's a whole different ball game. But I couldn't whip them. And they were teenagers. But to the God be the glory, by the time I left, I had 14 or 15. And by the time I left, every one of them, well, when I first started, only one claimed salvation. But by the time I left, every one of them but one claimed salvation. It was filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, you may say, Pastor, that's because of you. No, no, no. It's because of God. But you got to realize that if I would have been offended by what people were saying and doing, then I might not have would have been there. And who knows? Because I know that a couple of those kids are in ministry right now because of that camp. All right, so it's our choice how we react to something or someone about what they say or what they do. It's our response. Take responsibility for your own feelings. You'll be much happier. Whew. Number three. Five signs that somebody's too easily offended. Number three is that they're insecure. Man, I'm telling you, church, that this is an epidemic in our society. In this last year, 2017, at youth camp, there was over 400 kids in the elementary school camp. And the biggest altar call for that age group was for anxiety and insecurity. And anxiety is brought on by insecurity. Because when you're not secure, and you know why kids are not secure? Because the parents won't make them secure. You tell them that you can't pay the light bill. The kids don't need to know that. You fight in front of them. They see mom and daddy that they're not making ends meet. They see mom and daddy fussing and fighting. They're insecure that they're going to have a home. They're going to be a statistic. Man, you need to be secure in who you are so that your kids can grow up and be secure in who they are. Because if they don't, they're going to be looking for love in all the wrong places, baby. 1 John 4:18 says this: there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. It's not hard to tell when somebody's insecure, because they're always trying to cut others down to make themselves feel better. I'll be honest with you. I can't take or be around people like that. They always cut everybody else down so that they can feel good about themselves. They talk bad about people behind their backs fairly often. Don't point at nobody. I want you to be looking here. Look right in yourself. Insecurity is the root of being too easily offended. These people didn't receive love that they needed as children. I'm not trying to psychoanalyze anybody. And they've never felt safe, so they're insecure. This makes them feel the need for having safe spaces. I mean, listen, and this is not a political statement, but for crying out loud, after the election last year, college kids had to find a safe place. Are you kidding me? I know I should be more sensitive, but I'm not. For goodness sake. But, oh man, I ain't going to get on it. I'm not going to do it. Because I think it's just me. It's not you, I don't think. They need validation from others instead of finding their self-worth from within. Now, everybody likes validation. Everybody likes to be told, you know, you look good today, or you smell nice today. Everybody likes, oh, you're doing a great job. Everybody likes that. You know, I don't know of anybody who always likes to you know, how many, there's a restaurant that you go to and they're hurled insults at you. Anybody been in that? I'm not going to that restaurant. Because I'm going to tell you, it's going to be a fight. They, you know, I'll be all right, but they start talking about my children or my wife. Oh, they better not mention my mama. I can tell you that right now. No, just kidding. Those of you my age, you know about that. Boy, if you wanted to fight to jump off, you'd call it your mama. And it's all. It's on then. It's jumping off. Somebody getting hit. A person that is secure in their own skin. I want you to hear this closely. Somebody who's secure in their own skin can brush off things that may offend them and be able to easily forget about it. Because if it's untrue, then why do you even... You know, why do you fight it if it's untrue? Why do you got to get all hurt about it? Why do you got to go inward just because somebody said something if you know it ain't true? But the problem is we don't know things aren't true because we're not listening to the right truths. I get offended sometimes, but unless it's major, I ignore it. I told this one, this was a few years ago, there was a guy, and I could call his name, but I won't. But he was, they were coming to church, and we was here for a ladies, my wife likes me to come up sometimes and maybe sit in the back, even when it's a ladies conference or something, or a meeting, or not a meeting, but a service. And so I came, and I got out just the same time he did it, and he got out of the car. He said, "Oh, Pastor, how you doing, man?" I said, "Man, I'm doing great." He said, "Oh, Pastor, I'm telling you right now, man, you've been preaching some incredible messages." I said, "Well, thank you, man. I really appreciate it. That was really helping me, you know, helping my self-esteem. Man, you've been knocking them out of the park." I was like, "Oh, thank you, man. I appreciate that." "Well, that Easter message wasn't so hot." So I'm not exaggerating with my hand in the air. He was like, "Man, you was great." He said, "Oh, that Easter message wasn't so hot." I was like, and I just laughed just like I did. I went, "Oh, well, you can't bat 1,000 all the time, you know. But thanks for the others, yeah. And thanks for keeping me humble. Appreciate that. Appreciate that like a hair in my biscuit. Thank you so much. Yeah. But I get offended. When I say major, I mean like trying to infringe upon my rights. Not something like having to use the perfect little word for everything. Oh my goodness. You know, I don't know if I should tell that. My wife's going, she only know what it is. She goes, "If you have to ask, don't you tell it." But isn't it so annoying for people to twist your words to make it offend them? "Hey, you look really nice tonight. What'd you mean by that?" "I meant you look really nice tonight, you pervert." And don't point at them. How many know people who, if somebody says anything nice to them, they're hitting on them? "Oh my God, I was hit on at church. Oh my God. Come on, they were three." Yeah. There's a bigger issue going on down deep. Here comes number four. You ready? They're narcissistic. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, verses 1 through 7. It says, "But understand this, that in the last days there will become times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power." And it says, avoid such people. Avoid them. They will ignore you no matter how many facts you throw at them. There's no reasoning with narcissistic people. Their beliefs are definite truths to them, and everything and everybody else is wrong. You know, again, I am so weary of talking. I'm going to use this quotation marks, okay? I'm so weary of meeting Christians who live like the devil. If knowing the word of God was gas, they ain't got enough fuel to get around the track. and the track is a nickel. And they want to try to quote scripture to you to justify what they do. Well, you know the Bible says. And they say it and it ain't in there. You say, oh yeah, well. What verse and chapter is that? I don't know, but it's in there. Oh, well, let me look it up in my Google here. I don't think it is there. Anyway, there's no reason. Narcissism is the pursuit of gratification from vanity or egotistic admiration of one's own attributes. Man, they think they're all that, a bag of chips and some government cheese. That's the street version of narcissistic. That they have got it going on and you can't tell them any difference. They don't have any problem with insecurity. I know people who ought to marry themselves. Because that's the only way they're going to be happy. But they wouldn't last because they'd have to share the limelight with themselves. The term originated from Greek mythology where the young Narcissus fell in love with his own image reflected in the pool of water. Now, a materially developed person knows that they are not always right. That sometimes the roo roo roo. You know, the roo roo roo. They're wrong sometimes. You should always listen to others. Listen, if you can't learn from anybody else, then something's wrong with you. Maybe you're only half right, and so are they. You should always listen to others and viewpoint, even when you think that you're right. Maybe you might be wrong, and I hate to tell some of you, it's going to happen. Once again, I don't mean to be ugly, but I've lived through 4 second comings of Christ. And they had statistics, they had scripture, they had stuff that I didn't even understand. They'd look at me, they were showing me everything, and they had like this whole spreadsheet out. Do you understand, Pastor? No, I'm sorry. I didn't go to Flaky University. We can never learn if we don't humble ourselves and think outside of our own little box. Number 5, they just want attention. Romans 2:8. But for those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, there will be wrath and fury. It's kind of hard to tell the difference between someone like this and somebody who falls into the above categories. These people have nothing better to do and just want to fit in with their friends that are also complainers. Listen, let me tell you something. Like spirits attract. What do you mean? If you're a complainer, trust me, another complainer is going to find you. I don't have time to talk about assassination. Many people in therapist groups or therapy groups complain to each other, and that's all they have in common. Now, listen, I'm all about support groups and all that, if that's what it is. But I know that we had several years ago, we had a single moms group that got started, and it was kind of underground. They didn't try to be underground, but I didn't know that it had got established. But when I did figure it out, it established what it had become as a man bashing group. So I had to, as a man, I had to bash that. I couldn't let that go. You know, y'all can't be doing this, right? I mean, but those people will find each other. Many people, they stay because they don't want to lose their friends. You know, I had a My of course, I've had two brothers that passed away, and we've got a grief share group, and it's doing incredible, and it's really helping some great people, and it's really helping people. But now, but she said that she was, and her and I was talking about our group compared to the group that she went to, and she said, I would go there, and I would be like, oh my God, I am more depressed now than I've ever been. I can't keep coming back because I'm going deeper and deeper and deeper into depression. Because they wasn't helping each other. They just wanted to get together and complain, right? It's one thing to tell the problem and try to seek an answer. But it's another thing just to, because you want everybody to see it. You know, you ever had somebody who's got a bobo and they want everybody to see the bobo? You know, oh, look, I got hurt. And somebody's like, hey. Here lately, people have been putting on Facebook, nobody want to see that. We'll go to the surgical channel if we want to see that. Just scrolling on, minding my business. What in the world is that? Hey! It's like a train wreck. You can't even stop looking. It's like, oh my God. What is that? And if it's real bad, you got to show people, hey, what? Look at this. Oh, what's the idiot that put that on? Oh, somebody from my church. Yeah, crazy. Have no idea where I'm at right now. There have always been overly sensitive people in the world. The difference is now it's okay to display it openly. You know, I mean, and listen, men, you know, I'm 100% man, and I know that some of us need to be a little bit more sensitive. You know, people say, you need to get in touch with your feminine side. I did. I married her. That's my feminine side, right? So, you know, but we've done it to ourselves. We wanted men to be more sensitive. And now they're so sensitive that they can't even work. Come on. It's like, I got to tell you this one. There was a guy in Jamaica. We were over there one time, and the guy was a little effeminate, and he would shout feminine. You know, he would like when the Holy Spirit would go to him, he would shout like a woman shouts. And there was another man over there, and he started shouting under the Holy Ghost. And the guy went over to him and said, "My God, man, shout like a man! Shout like a man!" I lost it. You can't do that around me. I will lose it. My God, man, shout like a man. But we shouldn't have to walk around scared that we're going to offend people by sounding racist or sexist when we clearly are not. You know, I mean, because I'm not. You know, I'm going to tell this one story that Arthur here, me and Arthur, remember that when we went, you know, Arthur's been in, how long have you been in our church, Arthur? 15 years? About 15 years he's been in our church. We went down to the local diner that we always, that being the guys that here at the church, we would always go down. Well, me and Arthur had a meeting that we just needed to talk, just he and I. So we went to the diner and we were there and it was just he and I, and the waitress come by and she comes by and she says to me, she goes, "Oh, where are the other guys? They didn't come." And without missing a beat or without cracking a smile, I go, "No, they didn't come." "Well, why not?" I said, "They don't like black people." And then immediately the waitress looks at Arthur, and Arthur goes, "Oh, no, they did come. They were already there. They just sat at another table." And said, "Why didn't they sit with you?" And that's why I said, "Oh, they don't like black people." So then I don't know how she finally went down there and found out the truth. And she came back and slapped me, you know. That wasn't even funny. I said, "Oh, it was hilarious. You just don't know. It was hilarious." But instead of apologizing for nothing, why don't we really wait till we do something? Let's quit being so easily offended. Now, if we're being offensive, yes, you need to repent, and yes, you need to apologize. it would be certainly fitting. You cannot always get what you want. Look at your neighbor and say, you can't always get what you want. All right, man, I got to quit. I got just a couple more things to give you, and I'll be done. Finding things offensive is subjective, while the truth is objective. I want to let that sink in. Finding things offensive is subjective, while the truth is objective. Everyone's beliefs differ based on past experiences, but the truth never changes. The truth is the truth. So how can we really improve on something, or how can we truly prove something is offensive? A certain word may trigger one person, but not another person. Who gets to decide? Taking away one's person's right to say what they believe will only take away your right as well. How many know what I'm talking about? You know, Christianity offends people, but I can't say that gay marriage offends me, because then I'm a fascist. I don't agree with everything that everybody does. And I can still love people without accepting what they do. And I can accept people without accepting what they do. I believe in freedom of speech, but I also believe in the freedom of my speech. We all have the right to express ourselves, church. But reevaluate what offends you. Because we can't deal with everybody else. We can only deal with us. And let's quit being so sensitive and so easily offended. So, Pastor, number six, how does this affect us? How does this affect us? Well, it affects us with this political correctness mantra. And let me, if you're a guest, we're so glad you're here. But if you're looking for a politically correct church, we ain't it. Because I'm going to preach the Word of God. And honestly, this political correctness is just really a mantra to get everybody to turn against everybody. You know, some people like spicy food. Other people don't. So what do you do if you can't have the different spices? All you do is have bland. And when things are bland, it's not very good. And it gets tiresome. Everybody's divided on everything. You can either be a miserable person that lives in a constant state of anger. You ever notice people who are easily offended or easily angered? They have anxiety, or you can just calm down and live your life in Christ Jesus. It's your choice. It ain't nobody else's choice. Well, I just need somebody to lay hands on me. No, no, no. It's your choice. The problem is we don't know enough of the Word of God. You know, Steve gave a confession the other day that he couldn't give you a chapter and verse on a lot of scriptures. I can't either. This thing has ruined me. It's too easy to look it up. But here's what I do know. I know the Word of God enough that's in here. Why? Because I read it almost every day. Pastor, you don't read it every day? No, I'm not going to lie to you. No, but I read it almost every day. Because here's what David said. Happen to know it's in Psalms 119. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. It is a light unto our path. It is a lamp unto our feet. Guys, if we're going to be... Being offended is exhausting. Because to be offended, I got to keep telling it. And then I got to muster up some meanness when I see you. Or how to slight you. How to get back at you. That's not what God called us to do, man. Ask yourself that question. Am I easily offended? Now, the notes are on YouVersion. You can go there and get them. Relook at them. And I want you to reevaluate your own life. Check yourself. I can't do it for you. Nobody really, even your spouse really can't do it for you. Only you can. And if you're easily offended, are you ready? Get over it. Come on, stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Now, it's a song that they're playing, but I want you to make it a prayer for just a moment. Because if you'll do this, I promise you, you won't be easily offended. Here's what it says. Jesus at the center of it all.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.